Hello?
Hi. Hello?
How's Linda?
I'm surviving.
Surviving? You were doing good there for a minute.
Yeah, I'm doing okay. Been
You're
busy.
Doing okay?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. I'm going on this afternoon negotiating. I got a counter on an offer I put in yesterday, and I have the buyers on Sherman Farm are very interested. They want to put in an offer. They want to just see if they can add on to the house and put in addition. So we have to check with zoning. They're not looking at any other houses. They want the house, but they want to be able to put in to add on a fourth bedroom. So, it's plenty of room on the side to do it. So, that's
it. So it looks like it's doable.
There's plenty of room on that side. I don't see why not, you know. I mean, they love the house. They went in three times this weekend. They went in on...
So they're really trying to make it work, trying to figure out how to make it work.
Yeah, well, and plus we upped the buyer's broker commission to 3.5. So the other buyer's broker wants it to work.
Well, good.
Know? He's getting a big bonus on that, you know.
Good.
Yeah.
It's always nice to have somebody else working on those deals.
Well, yeah, because he's getting a lot more money, you know. So he wants it to work.
Is Richard on the phone?
Yes, I am, Don. Hi.
Okay. Hi, how are you doing?
Hey, pretty good,
somebody...
Don.
Good, good. So we got Richard and Linda, and I'm getting feedback. I wonder why that is. Anybody sitting right next to a computer?
I am.
Are you on a landline or a digital phone?
I'm on my cell phone, so I can do hands free.
Okay. All right. Okay. Linda was just talking about a deal that she's been working on this week. And looking like it's headed in the right direction.
And I put that one deal together in Warren. I put it in Topena.
Which one was that? The one that you were talking to me about?
No, it was these. It was past buyers that I had from 6 months ago, and they came to me, and then they said, "Well, we're going to wait 6 months." So I was. You know, with my month, I gave me my monthly mail outs, and it was 6 months. They came back to me, and a week ago, well, 2 weeks ago, I'm like, I was desperate. I had this one buyer, and so I called my friend at Rhode Island Housing, and I said, I had these one buyers that were at Citizens at 7%. So I said, I'll give you them, and she could give them 6-1. So I said, if you give me a buyer. So I gave her them, and she gave me a buyer. And so I told her I'd give her my next buyer. So these buyers came back to me. I gave her them, and they bought their second house. And so they came... The second house they went into, we went right into P&S. So
good for you. Good for you.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and so
That's
now
awesome.
I have these other buyers that she gave me. We've been out looking, and then these other buyers that I have, we're on a counter offer today. And I'm going to try to put it through. I want to try to get three pending this week so I get out of the hole and stay alive.
Good. Good. Okay. Richard, you sent in your triple track with the numbers. Did you do any of the other stuff I asked you to do, the annual income worksheet?
Oh yeah, I sent those in.
Okay, I don't know why I'm not finding it. Hang on. Linda, did you send yours in too? Linda?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
You want me to resend them, Matt? You want me to resend them?
Yeah, you might.
Not a problem.
Okay.
I'm behind on everything.
Okay. Well, that's all right. You missed, let's see, last week.
I started doing my business plan, and when I looked at, I put 15 listings on the market, and what I sold on, like, made me sick. And never mind how many buyers.
Okay, so let me ask you this question: when you looked at it, were you just discouraged?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then it wasn't all pricing on them, because some of them I sold, they didn't take it. And then, you know, one was a short sale. The bank wouldn't take it. One was my son's, and he decided, well, he didn't want to sell. You know, it was like different situations. One I still have on the market. It was a business, and he decided, well, you know what, I'll keep the business, you know, unless I get what I want. You know, it's
right.
Like different situations like that. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, and so, you know, it wasn't all just pricing, you know, and then it's, you know, so.
Okay, well.
And then I decided now, you know what, and then, you know, then now just like this week, I said, I'm not even to sell now. I'm not even. Really, if I don't have to, I'm not touching one short sale or one foreclosure if I have a buyer. Because you know what? These deals are so easy if you don't go near them. Because this last sale, not a short sale or foreclosure. And
slam dunk.
You make the offer, and you hear back the next day for a counter, and you go with it.
Right.
And it was so easy. The same one today. We're going to go over there and meet with the agent and try to put the deal together, hopefully. You know?
I do know, and I think that
normal
that's why.
People.
Normal
know?
People.
I'm just was trying too hard for, like, ridiculous. I'm just staying away from these bad agents dealing with all these foreclosures and short sales.
Right.
I'm, like, staying away from them. That's it.
Right. Okay. Well, I think that makes sense. Here's the other thing. I think that I still want you to go back and do the business planning tool, the real estate salesperson's business planning tool, because that gives us what the averages are. Okay? It gives us what my average commission was. It's not going to be a fun tool. I was just doing one with a client that last year made $80,000. This year he's at $39,000. You know, it's been a tough, tough, tough year. And it's hard to look at those numbers, but, okay, you know, we still need those numbers so that we can move on to the next level. Now, Richard, let me ask you a question here real quick. Are you there?
Yes.
Okay. On your, you know, and this goes for both of you, but... I'm just going to use Richard for right this second. On your, you know, you laid out the numbers on the triple track as 70,000, 100,000, and 300,000 as your maximum attainable. Let me ask, I'm going to ask you some very pointed questions. I'm not trying to embarrass you in any way, shape, or form. Just want you to give me the realistic, I mean, give me the truthful answer. What's the most money you've made? What's the most money you made in real estate in 1 year?
That's exactly what we went over last time, Don, remember? But the most money, yeah, we did this last time. And I told you when you thought the $300,000 was unrealistic. The most money I made in 1 year was $60,000.
Okay. So I guess, going back to that, you know, and I think that, you know, and I know we talked about it a little bit last time, but, you know, it's so important that I have a belief system that matches up with my goals, okay? It doesn't mean I'm not trying to squelch any goals or anything like that. If my best year was $60,000, then my minimum acceptable probably should be somewhere in that area or below. Okay. Now you put up 70. I know you and I talked about this a little bit last time. You just want to be here in 2010. That's what that minimum acceptable is. You know, and if 60,000 was the most I ever made, add 20% or 30%, now you're at, you know, 70, 72, 78, $80,000. That's average attainable, average anticipated. Okay? And then realistically, a stretch goal for where you are is to break that $100,000 barrier. So, I think I'm pretty consistent with what I said last time. Yes, no?
Yes. After I hung up with you, I was thinking that over, Don, and I appreciated your feedback. I forgot to mention, it didn't occur to me, one or two important details. When I made that $60,000, my previous high, and it was actually the previous year. I mean, I'm sorry, the previous year was only $20,000, and because I was part time for a long time. So, you know, previous to that, the highest I made part time was about $25,000, and the previous year I made $20,000. So that particular year I jumped up to $60,000. So I have a belief system that allows me to believe the numbers that I sent you. I have no problem believing, as long as they have the proper marketing, that I can make those numbers that I sent you. I don't have a problem believing that.
Okay, but let me ask you this question. So are your numbers different than the ones that I just saw last week?
No, same thing.
Okay, so tell me what's your minimum?
Let me look that up. I believe the minimum acceptable, Don, was 70,000, wasn't it?
That's what I was showing.
And the average anticipated was 100, and the maximum was 300. As long as I implement the proper marketing systems, because we're in marketing, you know, I'm not teaching you anything, but as long as I have the proper marketing systems, I believe I can hit those numbers.
Okay. The last thing I want to do, is to take something away from someone who honestly believes what they believe. But here's the catch, and this goes for both of you, and that is, look, if I, you know, you can say, well, if I implement the right marketing. Well, okay. How much have you made this year?
This year I haven't been out there doing anything, really.
Okay. What I'm saying to you is, look, if in fact it was as simple as just utilizing the right marketing materials or the right marketing, doing the right marketing, then the bottom line is we would have a track record with marketing that we've used in the past. You know, you know, if you had the kind of marketing budget that Coca-Cola had, you know, certainly you could do a lot more with what you have, but you don't. And you're in a position where, you know, in order for me to do all the right marketing, all the marketing that you're suggesting, means I got to have a lot more cash into the game. I got to put more skin in the game, so to speak. And so right now, you're working with what you're working with. Right now, you got minimum acceptable that is higher than the most money you've ever made in real estate.
Correct.
Okay. So what you're saying to me is, what you're saying to me, when I say minimum acceptable, you're saying that if you don't make $70,000, you're out of this business at the end of 2009.
Well, I'll still be in the business to some degree. I'll never give it up. But I guess
okay. Your
point is my numbers should be lower, Don?
Yes. In other words, look, the goal-setting process isn't just about aiming for a target. If you look at, you know, I've got three targets here, okay? A minimum acceptable says, look, you know, here's my track record for the past 5 years. This is what I've done. Okay, minimum acceptable in a tough market says, look, it's going to be somewhere in that vicinity. It might be 25 or 30,000 or 35,000. That's minimum acceptable. Remember, minimum acceptable says, look, you know, like this pays the bills, pays the real estate, doesn't give me much extra. But at least it tells me I'm going to be here at the end of the year. Okay? Then that average anticipated really is my stretch goal. I mean, it's not really my stretch goal. It's my goal that says, look, I've done 60,000. I know what it feels like. I know how to get to 60,000. I'm willing to hold myself accountable to 60 or 70,000 as my average anticipated. This is the one that I'm really working for. At the end of the year, this is the one where when I sit down, this is a number that pops into my head over and over and over again. You know, and it might be 60, 70, 75,000. But that's about where I would put it. You know, based on where you were this year and even last year, you know, if you what would your life be like if you did 75,000 in 2009?
Mm-hmm.
It'd
right.
be better than it is right now, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, financially, wouldn't it be better? Wouldn't it take off some pressure off of you? Okay. So 75,000, and then honestly, a stretch goal for you is going to be more like 100,000. And the reason why I say it's going to be 100,000 because 100,000 is a huge mental barrier if you've never been there. It's a huge mental barrier. You know, you cross that 100,000 or that $100,000 threshold, and you know you can do 120. You know you can do 130,000. But you don't just jump to 200,000 once you've broken that. You continue to build. And that's the one thing that I would say, you know, that most agents do not have the consistency in their life that they have no game plan for where they're going to go, why they're going to go, how they're going to get there. And that's what we're doing right now is I'm trying to get, you know, a track. You know, sometimes it's kind of cool to be able to say I got a goal of $300,000. But if it's so unrealistic because of my past experience, then it really is, I mean, it's really a statement out there that will go to defeat me rather than inspire me. Now, let me give you one more difference with this. You know, Richard or, if either one of you found yourself in a position, you found yourself in a position where your son or your daughter or your grandson, whatever, somebody needed a major surgery in the next 6 months. Okay? Nobody had insurance. You were the one that had to come up with the money. is a matter of life and death. And it was $250,000. Either one of you, Linda, Richard, either one of you could make that number because the why is so powerful. You see this? You see the difference? Your compelling reason to step out there and do more is very, very strong. Right now, you're playing against yourself. Okay? This is what I've done. This is what I did, you know, 5 years ago. It's what I did last year. You know, you're trying to, and that why is not super strong. You know, this statement I've used several times over the course of our time together, when the why is strong, the how becomes easy. When the why is strong. Now, you pluck a number out of the air like 300,000, Richard, and there's no why behind it. There's no real why behind it. So it's going to be unlikely that you're going to even come close. So did that $300,000 goal benefit you or hurt you?
I don't know.
More than likely it hurt you. Here, please understand what I'm not saying. I'm not saying I'm trying to take anything away from someone who honestly, sincerely, you know, can see their way clear to making the kind of money, and they have a why that's driving them. In other words, you know, look, we all have different reasons for why we do what we do. Linda's got her reasons. Richard, you got your reasons. The bottom line is, self-esteem is part of that. You know, self-esteem is part of that. When you're having success, does your attitude change?
You know what I think hurt me? Like, my first year in the market, I started in February, and I did the first few months of, like, the February. Well, it was the first year I made, like, 30-something thousand. My second year, I made 108,000, and then the market crashed. Mm-hmm. But I thought, I'm gonna make so much money in real estate. And then my third year, I did like 70, but I'm like, oh, I'm still gonna do great. And then my fourth year, that's when I went like to 40 something. Now then like this year. I'm like, and now I'm like, then of course, when it was the year I made the 108, I helped my son buy a house. Then I bought a car for my daughter. And then now it's like, now I'm broke. But I thought I was going to make so much money. And now I'm where I'm at.
Well, again, you know, again, when you look at where you are this year, where you've been for the last couple years, you know, look, it's similar to what I was just saying to Richard, and that is, look, you did $60,000. How long ago was that?
Yeah.
Richard, how long was that?
Yeah, well, it was 80 gross. It was 60 net, but that was 2000. In the year 2000.
Okay, 8 years ago, basically. It was 8 years ago. And then, in the meantime, what have you done? And, you know, again, and Linda's in the same boat. You know, she did 108,000 in 2000, probably 3 or 4 or 5?
5.
2005. And then every year it's been worse, and, you know.
Now it's now I'm like in the poorhouse, you know. Yeah.
Right.
Now it's like do or die. I'm, you know, so it's like, yeah.
Okay, but
like more strength, I think, to sell.
Okay. Based on the fact that you broke the 100,000, that barrier has been broken. But doesn't mean that you just go from 30,000, 40,000. Means
look. Not at all.
What do you need to make in 2009? To to be here at the end of the year. What do you have to make?
I have to make enough to survive, actually, because...
Okay, what is that number?
Enough to pay my mortgage, my REMAX fees, my bills, to get by.
Okay.
My minimum number to survive.
Okay, so...
To be
that's
alive.
What your minimum, that's what I'm talking about when I say minimum.
That's what I'm looking at, yep.
Okay, that
I
might be 30,000, 40,000, maybe.
Yep, that's the number I'm looking to stay alive.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, so that would be your minimum.
Yep.
That would be your minimum. And then, you know, we know that average anticipated is the one that we want to stay focused on.
Yep.
That's the number
right.
that we really want to stay focused on.
Right.
So for
and that's
you,
what I would... It would be just above that. That's what I would be even be grateful for, a little more than that after the last year. And that's
okay.
Cool.
So maybe
I
for you,
even, yeah.
For you, maybe it would be 40,000 would be your minimum, and 70,000 would be your average, or 75,000 would be your average anticipated. That's the one that we're really working towards.
Right.
And then 105,000 would be your maximum attainable. If
right.
you can do that in a tough market, and that's very similar to what I just said to Richard.
Right.
You know, 30, 40, 50, somewhere in there. You know, again, so often we look at goals and we look at this thing and we say, well, you know, I'd like to make, you know, $100,000. Okay. What have you done in the past that shows me that you're serious about making $100,000? Have you made, you know, the number of contacts? Were you consistent to making 5-10 contacts a day? You know, 5 days a week, 50 weeks out of the year. Did you do that or did you not do that? If you didn't do that, then the reality is that you probably don't want it bad enough. Okay? So where do I need to be? Are you following me, Richard? Do you understand where I'm coming from on this?
Absolutely, Don.
Okay. I feel like you're struggling to believe it. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I am having a little difficulty bringing my goals down, to be honest with you, Don, but I totally understand where you're coming from a practicality and from a realistic viewpoint. And just to clarify one thing, though, Don, the reason why I put the $70,000 down as a minimum is because, you know, I did my bills out and I needed about $6,000 a month just to tread water and pay all the bills, which comes to about $70,000. That's why I put that down as a minimum. But since last week, I've explored the option of, to be honest, and I'll be honest with you, I've explored the option of discharging my tremendous credit card debt, which is over $100,000. So once I get that discharged in a Chapter 7, my monthly bills will decrease by $2,500. So instead of $6,000 a month, you know, I'll be down to $3,500 a month. So obviously, you know, my minimum goal will be a lot less than $70,000. I haven't done the calculation yet, but you know it's closer
to
like 30,
come out about 42,000 somewhere in there.
Yeah, so I can adjust. Yeah, so my minimum needed will be below the $70,000 now, or once I do this. But
right.
I to be honest with you, I still have a little difficulty bringing down my goals, but I do understand what you're saying, that possibly $300,000 may be way out there, not even in the ballpark. But I hate to think of myself as increasing my income incrementally when I know that quantum leaps are possible. You know, especially being a realtor and having my own company, there are so many avenues to create income and money. And if I just do the same things I've been doing and do them a little better, then I'll get incremental increases in my income. But I don't know, Don, I'm of the mindset where, and I know you're trying to correct me and change me, but I'm of the mindset that if I just make a few tweaks here and there, hit the right buttons, you know, things can really take off. As I know there's been realtors out there that have gone, you know, from X amount of income to a lot more income in 1 year. But I also understand that it's a down market. But, you know, like you said, don't walk into a room and everybody's sneezing and get that virus. So I'm not letting the down market bring me down at all. So what I'm trying to do, Don, is merge my feelings with yours so we come to some kind of a happy medium.
Well, let me give you both another example, and that is, look, I got a client that went from his very first year in real estate went from $425,000 to almost $900,000 this year. His goal was only $750,000, but the point is that to take that kind of a jump it takes its toll. In other words, our goal for next year is $800,000. It's actually less than what it was this year. Why? Because the infrastructure in place wasn't there. And so when I'm building teams, building groups of realtors who go in from, you know, say $70,000 minimum to, you know, $100,000 maximum, you know, you start to add $100,000. Okay, let's just say you hit your target. You know, whether it's $70,000, let's just say you hit your $75,000, okay?
Uh-huh.
And then when you look around in this world right now, and for the next couple of years, you're going to see even more of this, and that is no cost of living increase. Matter of fact, you know, they're going to cut back some of the extras that you get, some of the benefits that you get in where you work. You know, and so you're actually going to make less for the next couple of years than you did today. And, you know, even if we were in good times, the most you would see is maybe a 3% to a 5% cost of living. Would you agree with that?
Well, I can agree to it. I'm
if
living
working,
it because my wife just got laid off.
Okay.
Everyone,
okay.
I've been hearing that a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot of it going on.
Yeah.
In this game called real estate, if you set your targets for 20 to 30%, now can some people could have more, and some people, you know, are just very steady at increasing 20%, 30%. Let's just say you did 75,000, you increase it by 30%. Now you're at $105,000, $110,000, okay? And then next year you want to do the same thing. And 2 years from now, you know, you're making another 30%. And now you're at $145,000. Okay? And in the third year, you want to do another 20 to 30%. And now you're at 175.
Or it's 180. Compounded interest.
It's compounded interest. With the mentality that you're focused on, Richard, is, you know, I can do so much more today. You know, I can go from where I'm at to 300,000. And so the effort is there in the beginning. But then you become so far away from your target. And in other words, you do 300,000. It means you have to do what you've done in a year every month.
You know, Don, I can appreciate that wisdom because that's what I'm paying you guys for. I mean, if you thought exactly the way I did, there'd be no need for coaching. So I can appreciate that.
Okay. I want you to get me both. I want you both to get me the annual income worksheet and the real estate salesperson's business planning tool. As painful as it is, just do it.
Okay.
Could you repeat that one more time? I just want to write it down, Don.
Okay. The real estate salesperson's business planning tool. It's the two pages that are A through O.
Okay.
I want you want you to answer every question that you possibly can. And the ones you can't, just put DK for don't know. Or if you want to guess at it, just put a number and then put an EST by it, called estimate or question mark, either one.
Okay. What was the other one?
And the other one was real estate salesperson's business planning tool. This is the page.
That was the first one.
This is the one that has the 3 years on it. Now, have you already done that? You didn't do that one, did you?
Who, me?
Richard.
I thought the first one you just gave us, Don, was the real estate salesperson business planning tool.
Yes, that is. The first one I gave you is a real estate salesperson business planning tool.
What's the second one you need, Don?
Annual income worksheet.
Oh, okay. I don't know if I did this or not, Don, yet.
I don't think you did. I don't think you did. I would have seen it.
Okay, annual income worksheet?
Yeah, remember, this is a form that you've got to do 3 years. You're going to do 2006, 2007, 2008, because what I'm looking for some seasonality to your business, okay? What percentage of my business did I do in January, February, March, April, so on?
Okay.
Do you see the form, Linda?
Yeah, I get it. Okay. I have them all together.
Say that again.
Get them all together. I have everything all together in a folder.
Okay.
Are they both in the book, Don, or were they emailed to us?
They were emailed to you.
Okay.
The annual income worksheet was not in the book, I don't think.
Okay.
Get it from Tammy or Kat.
Yeah, if you don't have it, just get it from Tammy. It's called the annual income worksheet or the AIW.
Yeah.
Okay. So those two, real estate salesperson business planning tool, then I would like you to take...
I did most of that business plan anyways.
Okay. I'd like you to take the annual income, actual income goal sheet.
Yeah.
And I'd like you to fill in on the annual income goal sheet, or actual income goal sheet, up on the top of the page, it says... minimum acceptable, average anticipated, maximum attainable. You already did that?
Yeah, I sent one of those. Yeah.
Did you send it in?
No. But I did one of those. Yeah.
I don't have it. So if you
haven't
sent it in.
I did one of them, but I did all that paperwork. I didn't send it in. I didn't totally... finished, just like I'm like looking at those numbers.
Yeah, I don't want you to do the goal sheet. I just want you to put in those three. We've spent a couple of times talking about it. You know, Richard, you're going to think about what I said and possibly make some adjustments to your three targets. Okay.
Yeah,
well,
I think I had done like 40 something. That's what I think I had done.
Okay. Just get those to me.
Okay.
And then what I'll do is by the next time, if I bought both of your annual income goal sheets and the worksheet, we'll come up with a number, a target for December, January, February, each month, all the way, you know, what do you have to do with the real estate salesperson's business planning tool? It tells me, you know, what your average commission is, how many deals is it going to take to hit my goal in each one of those categories, minimum, average, and maximum. Okay?
Yeah.
Sounds very logical.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Any questions on that?
No.
Okay. Let's take just a few minutes and talk about what I'd like to talk about now is just, okay, look, we're at the end of the year. you know, next, you know, we're 2 weeks away from Thanksgiving or 2.5 weeks away from Thanksgiving. Life in real estate begins to slow down. Here's the thing that I want to address with right now, and that is, look, when you look at the number of realtors in this business, first of all, the number of realtors is substantially less now than it was at the beginning of 2008. It's a lot less than it was, even back to the beginning of 2007 and 6. So, but when you look at and you've probably heard this, you know, there's so much competition out here. I wish half the realtors would just quit. Well, so far, half of them have quit. And now half of what's left is about ready to take about a six-week vacation. What I want to say to you guys is don't take a six-week vacation. There is definitely time in the last month of the year to enjoy the holidays, if that's important to you, to enjoy the holidays, to spend time with your family, to, you know, do Christmas shopping, play some during this period of time. Here's the downside. Most agents, as of Thanksgiving, basically coast through the balance of the year, you know, and then you get to the end of, well, you look at the New Year's Day is on Thursday, so obviously most people are going to continue to take Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and pretty soon now all of a sudden, okay, some of the realtors are going to start getting back into the groove around January 5th, but they have no plan. Okay, so all they know is they have no plan and no momentum. Consequently, that's why many agents spend the first 2 months of the year trying to figure out how they're going to make it through March. Okay? You guys are going to know what you have to do in December, in January, and February. You're going to know what it's going to require of you. You may not see the results that you're looking for in December, but December is definitely a month to plant seeds. December and January and February, when you start to look at, when we sit down and go through the actual goals, what you're going to see is in probably both of your cases, you're going to see a very small first quarter, which includes December, January, and February, and it's not going to be 25% of your income. More than likely, it will not be somewhere between 12 and 17%. Which means my second and third quarter. And this isn't the way it is for everybody, but some people have really strong third and fourth quarters. But that's what this whole worksheet is all about, the annual income worksheet is all about. So when you start to realize, okay, look, there is no free time. You know, so in December, we'll get into kind of some time blocking ideas. In other words, look, you're probably not going to work a 40-hour week. Maybe you work a 20-hour week or a 15-hour week. That still means, what are the high payoff activities that I need to do every day? Okay? And if I'm working a 40-hour week, maybe I'm spending an hour and a half doing prospecting. If I'm working a 15- or 20-hour week, now I might be only spending 45 minutes. But I'm staying connected. Does that make sense? If I stay connected all the way through the holidays, meaning I can take, you know, and one of the things I'll encourage you to do based on the holidays and how they fall this year is to take two 5-day weekends. You know, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Okay? You can do that. This will be the only only 2 5-day weekends that really won't cost you much. Okay, so you get rested up and get ready to rock and roll. But in between those vacations, you're time blocking, you're focused on, okay, I need to get all my past clients called. I need to, you know, knock doors and, you know, I need whatever it is, whatever aspect of prospecting I want to follow, I need to make sure that I've got a pattern going into that prospecting in December. Because like I said, so many agents are disconnected. They have no momentum. It's like starting all over, and they don't even show up until January 15th. Part of why they don't show up is because they don't have a game plan. So every morning they wake up, they pull the covers over their head and say, oh, man, I really don't want to go in today. Or I think I saw a snowflake. Yeah, you know what I mean? So we come up with excuses. So I really want you guys to focus very much on, okay, I'm going to stay engaged in this process. Because as much as I enjoy holidays as a coach, it's one of the worst times for me. You know, it's just, I mean, it's like, okay, how many of you listened to what I said back in November and December? And, you know, as much as I can say it, doesn't mean that you will do it. And that it, so a lot of people come back to me the same way, very disconnected. You know, now we've got to get some momentum. It's, you know, it's kind of like, you know, running a race, you know. I got to get some momentum before I actually can pick up the pace that I'm looking for. You know, I can't go from 0 to 60 in 10, in the amount of 10 feet. It's not enough room. So I need to develop some momentum, which means I need to stay connected to this game. You know, I need to stay connected to the people who are doing something in this business and less connected to those who are not doing anything.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Any questions about what we're doing, about where we're going? And we'll get back into the book. I've got one more session with you guys to try to get this thing somewhat wrapped up, and then we'll get back to the book on the not next session, but the session after that. Okay?
I'm very excited about the income projections and the game plan and the business plan, Don, for next year. I never did that before, so obviously one of the things I have to look at is doing things differently if I want different results. So I'm
right.
Excited about doing that.
Good. Listen, if you guys struggle with anything on those things, I really want to get those back before, you know, at least a couple of days before our next session. If you have any challenges with it, shoot me an email. If I can, I'll answer them by email. If I can't, I'll give you a call. You know, and don't be embarrassed to do that, because I've probably taken 10 calls this week already over this. Okay? It makes sense. When you get into it, you may come up with some additional questions. Don't. You know, I'm on the road this next 2 weeks quite a bit, but I do get email, and I will do my best to get back to you as quickly as possible. Sometimes it may be a day or two. Okay.
Okay. All right.
All right, guys. Have a great week. And
okay.
Good luck, Linda, on those deals that you're working on.
Yeah, I'm going right now.
All right.
Okay.
Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.
All right. Bye. Bye, Linda.